Hello, everyone, and welcome to New Genesis Wrestling High Voltage. I am the camera guy, and here with me, as always, is NGW head official Scott Cross. And Scott, it looks like you're out in the public right now.
Yeah, you know, I'm just taking a little break. You know, we had a busy week, but, you know, out here enjoying the day, watching the thunderstorms roll in. I got Donde out there running the yard, chasing his shadow. So, you know, it's a good day.
Yeah, you know what? It's great to kind of be back to normal here, especially after last week.
I know. I'm glad we're back to the normal high voltage instead of whatever that crap was last week.
You've already got Dardar in the chat angry with you, Scott. All you have to do
is show up and Dardar's mad.
Yeah, say, boo, Scott, you suck. Never scare me in your life again. What did you do to Dardar, Scott?
Okay, I was hiding behind the curtain, and she walked by, and I scared her, and she fell to the floor, and she, like, I scared the crap out of her. It was funny. So she was
That's
mad about that.
Cruel, Scott. You well, can't be
It was a perfect opportunity. I don't see any rule that's in my contract that says I can't. Well, I mean, it's Dardar, and she's with PYP, so yes, I probably can.
You know, speaking of PYT, you know, we had PYT on last week, and Playboy cashed in his right to fight contract during the match between Ricky Cruz and Dexter Roswell. And I sent a message to Dexter earlier this week asking if he had any comments about that situation, and he actually sent in a video for us to play. Let me play that real quick here.
You want to know my thoughts about Playboy Double H cashing in his right to fight on me at NGW Battle Lines? You want to know how I feel about Chris Cade coming to make the save for me and Logan Ridge? No.
Wow, that was interesting.
Yeah, he doesn't have much to say right now, apparently, but I'm sure that there will be more coming from him soon.
I mean, it was a lot to process. We knew it was coming. We just didn't know when. The thing about Playboy, because he had that right to fight, so we knew he was going to cash it in. We thought he was gone. We thought he wasn't going to be there that weekend. I didn't see him at all that day, and I'm in the ring, and all of a sudden, here comes PYT, and I'm like, why are they out here? And then I see Playboy coming out, and I'm like, where did he come from? But, you know, perfect opportunity, turned it into a triple threat, which made it no disqualification, no countout, perfect for PYT, you know, the numbers game. And honestly, you know, with the end, there was nothing I can do about it. I mean, had to do my job, and Playboy is the new NGW heavyweight champion.
Yep, we've got that Dara saying that she's got both her Scott Fault stickers on her phone and her mom has one on her clipboard at work.
See, spreading the word out there, you know. But at the next NGW show, I will have two different versions of that sticker. I will have the Scott Fault and the hashtag not Scott Fault. So we're going to see which one sells better.
And we've got Dardar request I pull a certain photo up for her.
Oh gosh.
Oh, but yeah, and we've also got Chris in the chat. Everybody, make sure while you're in the chat, it's great seeing you. Make sure you're commenting, posing some questions to our guest tonight, Jerry, because we're going to be picking one lucky fan for Jerry to play for, to win a signed poster at the next NGW show, Melee in Muskuta 3. And, you know, we've got Chris in the chat saying, no one wants to hear from you, Scott. Bring on who we're all here to see.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, you know, we do have a very popular guest. I mean, he has been making his ranks up in the NGW, and I mean, all over, he's going everywhere. You know, we get to talk to Jerry Morgan and get to hear about his start in professional wrestling and, you know, what he's accomplished so far. I mean, it's going to be great with him on.
Yeah, let's take a look at Jerry's accomplishments. He has yet to be penned or made to submit in NGW or IWA Productions. He lasted 1 hour and 6 seconds in the Mount Vernon Rumble match. He is the current and inaugural Ignite Outburst champion, MMWA Junior Heavyweight Championship twice, MMWA Battle Royal winner twice, IEW champion once. He has over 5 years of experience. And a fun fact about Jerry, he is also an ice hockey player. So, what do you say we get right to it, Scott?
I mean, they're not here to see us. They're here to see the guests this week. So, let's bring them on.
Yeah, all right. Everybody, please welcome Jerry Morgan. Oh, let's put you in this position of honor. There we go. How are you doing tonight, Jerry?
Oh, good. Doing great. Doing great. Work's done at home. I'm in the kiddos' room. They're all painting their room all up, so it's all funky. I'm the quietest place in the house right now, so that's where I'm going to sit.
So I want to say thank you again for joining us here tonight. And interesting little bit, you know, we had that little fun fact that you're actually also an ice hockey player. How long you been doing that?
Well, I got started really late, so I'm horrible at it, but I love it, so I continue to do it. I started playing ice hockey at 25.
So what got you into it?
Friends, actually. Long story short, a friend of mine wanted me to play roller hockey, and so we did. And I ran into another buddy of mine from school. And we were having some problems getting players. So I knew he played hockey his whole life. So I invited him to come to one of our roller games to fill in. And after the game, he looked at me and he goes, "You need to stop playing roller hockey and go buy a pair of ice skates." And I said to him, I said, I've never put on skates before in my life. I can't ice skate. And he goes, "And it can't be any worse than what I just saw. So go buy you some skates." And I'm like, okay. So then I got started playing and, I just started playing men's league, playing with guys that played college hockey and played high school hockey and played hockey through their whole lives. So I just kind of threw myself in the deep end, and now I play and compete against guys that have been playing their whole lives. So I'm not a pretty player, but I get the job done. So.
And you've already got some fans popping up in chat. We got Christy going, "Yes, finally, I've been waiting for this. The best of the best, Jason Static."
That's high praise. No,
Jerry Morgan.
Hey, that's my guy right there.
And Jeffer Lindhurst, "Jerry is the best son of a bitch in St. Louis wrestling."
It's just biased. That's okay. I'll take it.
You know, that brings me to an interesting thing that, you know, Scott is going to be selling two different versions of his stickers coming up. Yeah. And I kind of think that maybe he stole that concept from you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I've noticed that you have two different shirts that you like to sell. One that is Jerry Sucks, and the other is Jerry Broadway.
Yeah, so funny story. That wasn't even my idea. I showed up to an MMWA show to wrestle, and I come out during my entrance, and I get on the ropes and I look out there and I see my sister of all people wearing a Jerry Sucks shirt, or Jerry Morgan Sucks.
And your own sister.
Yeah. And I'm like, what the heck, man? You know? And then, apparently she had people coming up to her and was like, "Where did you get that shirt from?" And she goes, "I made it." And they go, "Oh my God, I want one." So it kind of snowballed from there. So, my other sister and her daughter, my niece, they were like, "We got to make shirts and sell them at the shows." And I'm like, "Go right ahead." So I call my niece my Polly to my Rocky. So she makes all the money and does all the merch stuff, and I do all the fighting. So
Scott, did you steal that idea from Jerry for the two different stickers?
No, I honestly didn't even know that that was that you had those shirts because I don't come over that area. But yeah, I mean, it was just one of those things. I mean, it was daughter. I will give her credit for the Scott sucks. You know, she did come up with that, but you know, or Scott's fault. But you know what? We're going to find out at the next NGW show because I am selling both. So we're going to see which one wins. And see the good part is more. Exactly. And all the profits from the sticker sales go to Wrestling for a Cure. So it's a win-win either way.
All the profits to mine go straight to my niece. So they make all the money. So that was the deal. If you want to run the merch table, you can keep the money because I know a lot of people get into this business for a lot of different reasons. It's nice to make some money doing it. I don't like losing money doing it. So as long as I'm able to break even or maybe make a couple bucks, I'm fine. I'm almost 40, you know. I've been wrestling, you know. I took a bit of a hiatus for a long time, about a 7-year hiatus. I had some neck problems and messed up my foot, so I just decided to step away from the business for a long time. And then I guess Scott steals everything. That's good.
Yeah. Chris is saying that Scott steals everything. He can't come up with anything himself.
Everything's stolen. You know, everything's stolen in wrestling. Yeah.
Exactly.
But yeah. So when I came back from that hiatus, I kind of had a game plan of I kind of know where my timetable's at. I kind of know where I'm going to be sitting in a lot of places as far as, you know, with experience and also Herb Simmons. Oh, wow. Look at that.
Yeah. Herb Simmons, good day, Joe. A good day to you, Herb.
Yep.
Thanks for joining us. We got Scott Jason Stack saying Scott's a stealer. And we actually have a question for you, Jerry, from Dardar. Asking, hey, Jerry, who or what inspired you to wrestle? And she's sorry she had to boo you at NGW. She had to support her PYT people.
Hey, I'm okay with it. I don't take it personal, you know, until I take it personal. But then we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But what inspired me to wrestle? Well, the thing is I was like a lot of people because I turned 40 this year. So I'm getting up there in age. And I mean, when you're in the 90s and you're watching wrestling, all you know is what's on TV, right? Because there wasn't YouTube or there wasn't anything else really going out there unless you were going to local shows. And the thing is I was never exposed to local shows. So all I knew was the stuff you saw on TV. So I always wanted to wrestle when I was a kid, and I always loved wrestling as a kid. But it wasn't until I got into my mid to late 20s is when I realized or was brought to my attention that the local wrestling scene was out there, you know. Like, obviously I knew about indies and things like that as I got older, but I didn't really know the scale of the local area and St. Louis wrestling and the history behind it and all that kind of stuff. I was kind of oblivious to it just because I was never really exposed. So I worked with a guy who was in the business and had gotten out of the business. And I had expressed, man, if I would have been 18 and I would have known this information, I would have been all in, you know. That's probably what I would have done fresh out of high school, you know? And he was like, you could still do it now. Like, I'm in my mid 20s. It's too late. I'm 5'8" on a good day. Like, I ain't going to the dub anytime soon, buddy. He's like, no, I'm telling you, it's different. So he convinced me to call a guy, and that guy was Brandon Espinoza. And I started training with Brandon up at the South Broadway Athletic Club gym when it was open. And that's where I cut my teeth learning how to wrestle. So I was always into wrestling as a kid. I always loved it. I always thought it was something I wanted to do, but then never really had the reality hit me that it was possible in this area until I got older. And, you know, it was one of those things where, like, well, I'm only get one life to live, so why not do it? You know, the heck with it, just do it. So went to class, started working, and here I am.
So where do you get your start, your career start in the area?
My career start was at Broadway, MMWA. And the reason for that is because Brandon at the time was wrestling there. My first match, however, true, he does suck.
You got a hater in the comments there.
No, that's the thing. It's okay. It's normal. Stick up for me. There you go. Okay. My first actual match was actually in Memphis against my trainer, because typically that's normally how it happens. Or at least to my knowledge, that's how it would happen, is you'd break in. If your trainer was still in the business working, they'd take you on the road and they'd, you know, they'd work you on the road, give you a match or so, or get you booked on a show to get some work in. And my first match was in Memphis. And then after that, I was booked regularly at Broadway. So I did a couple pop shots at Dynamo. And I think that's about it. I did a Cape show one time a long time ago. But
I heard saying still, anything is possible in this business.
It is. And that's one thing I've learned. So what's scary is when I got in the business, I was just a white meat baby face, you know, and I would go in there and I'd get beat up and put the bad guys over. And that's about the extent of my, my run. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, it got a little bit of a push, you know, that's where I won my, my first championship as a baby face at Broadway. The junior heavyweight championship, my first one. But that's also when, leading up to that was when I started having some neck issues. And then I had a match where I also hurt my foot. So I was like, you know, me thinking, you know, my days are already numbered here. I might want to step away. And I was probably about 3 years in at that point, and I was already banged up. So I was kind of like, maybe I should step away. And then, let's see, fast forward, you know, 5 years after that, 7 years after that, I'm walking down Main Street down here in my local area. And we're doing Trick or Treat Main Street for the kiddos. And I walk past this building, and it's an athletic building. It says DeSoto Athletic Club. And I kind of peek in there, and I see a ring in there. And there's other boxing equipment, all kinds of stuff. But I'm like, I've been in a boxing ring. That's not a boxing ring. So I was kind of like, I wonder what's going on here. And ironically, my daughter started gymnastics in the same complex, just on the other end. And I try to poke my head in there every night when she was doing gymnastics, and nobody was ever there. Nobody was ever there. And I poked my head in there one night, and Jason Static was in there. And I introduced myself, and I had just been like on this fitness thing, just got back in the boxing gym, trying to like, you know, I just felt real awful where I was at physically. I was, you know, out of shape, and I was just getting back into shape, shedding some weight. And it just kind of, everything is kind of like aligned perfectly. And he knew everybody I knew. I knew everybody he knew, but we never met each other. It was really strange how that worked out. But basically the arrangement was, I wanted to come by and see and get in shape and just do some ring work, see if I could still do it, as almost kind of like just to see if you could still do it kind of thing, but also get some reps in and maybe help some guys, crash test dummy style. Like, I'll help take moves and deliver moves. That way they get their reps in, get the training in that they need. And, it snowballed into me doing what I'm doing now. So it's just strange how this world works.
Yeah, we've got BYT's Virgil on the chat said, telling us to remember that PYT runs High Voltage, because last week they did kind of take over a little bit.
And they did.
Scott to tell us who the best is.
That's over.
No, that's over. That was they used to run High Voltage last week. They don't run it anymore. So I'm not saying anything now because they're not a part of the show right now. So
it is back in the trusted hands of the camera guy and Scott Cross. And we also got Herb Simmons saying that Jason Static knows the business.
Yeah. What's strange about that too, on that subject of Jason Static, which I owe a lot to this run that I'm in. because he gave me an opportunity to come train there and didn't even charge me. So when I was going there, oh, Krista, she's trying to get something. I don't know what it is. She's schmoozing awfully hard here. Oh, I thought we were waiting for that. Sid
Hall is saying, "Hey, Jerry, what are you doing June 21st?
I know what I'm doing. The question is, are you ready? That's what I want to know.
You're going to be wrestling in Muskuta at NGW's Melee in Muskuta 3.
I am 100%. And now the card's subject to change, as it always is, right? But from my understanding, I don't know if the ink's all the way dry, but the offer's out there for Sid Holland versus Jerry Morgan for Melee in Muskuta 3.
Oh, that could be a good one.
Don't know if I spoiled anything for you, boys. But if I did, yeah. I apologize.
Oh, that's all right. But we got Krista saying that she remembers seeing you at IWA for the first time, and now IWA has never been better.
Yeah. I mean, she's not wrong. She's not wrong. Hey,
you were at IWA just this last weekend.
I was.
And you know, what's interesting about you, when PYT kind of took control of the show last week, you were in the chats. You were kind of pushing some buttons. You were doing the same thing the week beforehand, yeah. Which really kind of drove us to, okay, maybe we should get Jerry on the show here.
Yeah. Well, that's what I do.
Somebody else is pushing his buttons.
Nah, I'm an oak. You can't rattle me.
But I distinctly last week remember seeing you sitting out in the crowd.
Sure did.
This was the Great Heathen Army was coming out to face the Gospel of Damnation for the IWA Tag Team Champions. And you were just sitting there, just giving the thumbs down to, I think you gave the thumbs down to everybody who came out through that curtain the second half of the show.
Mostly the heathens. I cannot stand those Viking kids. I'm just waiting for an opportunity to get to beat them up.
No, what? Why is that? What did they do to you? Outside of the fact that you've already beat up DK. A
couple times, yeah.
Yeah.
A couple times. I mean, he's got his licks in on me too once, so, I mean, I'll give him some kudos there. But he had a little bit of help. I'm just saying.
Well, we've still got quite a few people in the chat here. You know, Jason Stack saying, Jerry, now back to what you saying about me.
Oh, sorry. No, okay. Sorry. I ramble and I go off the beaten path a lot. So I apologize, but, with Jason allowing me to come there and train and, not charge me anything to train, reasoning behind that, cause I was volunteering to help his guys work and do things that maybe he's not wanting or even physically able to do anymore from all the toll and all the bumps and bruises that he's gotten, you know, injuries that he's sustained in the business back when he was working. So I was basically volunteering to help train that class that he had, excuse me. And, but what I learned while I was there was I've actually gotten better and smarter psychology wise, with the business and a different working style to give me a little bit more longevity in doing what I'm doing, or at least for as long as I want to, really. So I give a lot of credit to that for Jason for allowing me to kind of practice that and hone those in and learn that kind of accidentally, you know? And then obviously he's always, we got our own little group chat with our guys and we're always trying to feed tidbits information and give each other a hard time. So he's a good one. He's a good dude to have around. And Herb's right. He does know what he's talking about with the business.
Yeah. And, you know, we've got Sid Holland still hanging out in the chat here saying that if you want to lock up, I'll put the Wrestling for a Cure championship on the line.
Brother.
And we've got our producers saying that negotiations currently underway for Jerry Morgan versus Sid Holland for the Wrestling for a Cure Championship on June 21st.
Hey, I've been saying now, this wasn't, I didn't think that the Wrestling for a Cure Championship was something that you could put on the line at any point in time. I thought that was annual thing.
Sid is the Wrestling for a Cure champion. And my understanding is that he can issue challenges for the title.
So it's his discretion. I mean, so just to put this out there again, I know I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it 1,001, probably 1,002, 1,003, and keep on going. I have yet to be pinned or submitted inside of an IWA Productions or NGW Ring.
Yes.
So,
I mean,
I don't know if that's the best idea. I mean, we can go. I'll give them the option to not put it on the line. We can just go for bragging rights. I don't care. I think Sid Holland and myself will put on a great match. I don't know exactly how to approach it because I am a bit undersized.
You know, I think that the two of you locking up would be absolutely fantastic. And especially, for sure. You know, if the Wrestling for a Cure Championship is on the line, because right now New Genesis Wrestling is actually in the lead for donations for Wrestling for a Cure for St. Jude's Hospital for helping to fight childhood cancer. Right now, New Genesis Wrestling is at $848 in donations. And our co-CEO, Phoenix Quinn, has challenged NGW to get us up over $1,000 by the time of the Wrestling for a Cure show in July. And I think we're going to pull that off.
I think I laid out a – I think I did like a if-then type of – not challenge, but almost like a statement, an if-then statement type of thing.
I believe you last did. Show, the last show before. Yep, I believe that you stated that if New Genesis Wrestling made our goal for Wrestling for a Cure, that you would let Krista Hansen be your manager for one match.
Yep. She's had my back since day one.
She has.
The first time she saw me, she's been Jerry Ride or Die, man. So why not? And why not reward her?
We got Sid saying, by orders of the commissioner of Wrestling for a Cure, I'm allowed to defend it anytime, anywhere.
Hey, it's your belt, brother. You decide. You know, I'd be honored to have a shot at another championship. And that kind of – to kind of roll back into what I was saying a minute ago is, you know, I debuted in the Mount Vernon Rumble. I was once undefeated myself.
Yes. Yeah. Sid Holland was undefeated for 2 years, if I remember correctly.
Dang. Oh, hey, I'm not quite 2 years in, but on the undefeated streak. But
and Krista confirming that you did make that and we're going to make the goal.
Hey, I'm all for it. No, what I was saying before was with me being an IWA since the Mount Vernon Rumble of 24. Because we just had, or was it?
Yes.
Yeah, 24. I did my debut for IWA Productions back in that Rumble. So since that Rumble, I have not been pinned or submitted. Now, part of that, here's my Scott's Fault story.
And we have somehow lost Scott.
And he's not even
Gardner on. Has to be extremely, hold on. I think we have Scott back.
Just in time.
You know, you gotta love technology. You gotta love technology. I don't know what happened, but my phone decided to disconnect from my Bluetooth and decided to restart. I don't know what happened, but I don't know.
You know, you are just in time for Jerry's Scott's Fault story.
Okay.
So part of the reason why
I didn't miss it.
Okay. Part of the reason why I'm still undefeated or yet to be
you
submitted
been or submitted
is in my match Loser Leaves Town against Logan Ridge. We backed into Scott and I kind of had to give him a little kicksies because there's no rules. He kind of got in the way And yes, it was strategy, but I did tap out. Logan had me in a submission, and I tapped out. And guess who didn't see it? Scott didn't see it. You know why? Because it's Scott's fault. Scott got in the way. Scott got kicked. Scott missed the call. But I did it so he would let go. And it worked. I was like a 50-50 shot. Like, if I start tapping, he might let go. Yeah, he might not. So hopefully, me knowing and watching Scott fall down, I was like, this is my chance to get out of this hold. So I tapped out. And lo and behold.
You're saying you did tap out.
I did. But I used it as strategy. Okay. So think about that. Scott was down. I saw the opportunity. I took it. And it's Scott's fault. In a way, it's partially Scott's fault that Logan Ridge is no longer at IWAP.
Oh. Scott. So,
that's
man.
A good one. That
and
is a good
I unfortunately
one, yeah.
wasn't there for that show.
That's an intense. So, that's a heavy burden to bear, sir.
Well,
I
know.
Take the blame. Okay. I take the blame because I did it. Okay. I did it. I pulled the trigger and I did it. However, it's partially your fault. It's like,
well, I thought you were
it's like 80-20. It's like 80-20 me. Okay. 80-20 my fault. Your
so
fault.
I'm the 20%. You're the 80.
You're the
20%. Okay. I'll take the 20%. Yeah.
You're the 20%.
Yeah. Somewhat my fault.
We got Virgil on the chat saying Pasty Boy's fault. Which right. yo I
Which one? I'm Pasty too.
Which we actually did receive another Scott's Fault video.
Oh that, gosh, that, I cannot wait
that,
for
that
this
we
one.
Can show
I
here.
Love these.
So yeah, these are great. So let's go ahead and play the next little rendition of Scott's Fault that we've received from PYT.
Somehow.
I mean, to me, it looked like Playboy was trying to go for a tag from you, and you just kind of weren't there for him.
I wasn't there for him. Biased.
I mean, somehow it's my fault, you know.
We got Chris in the chat saying, Scott messes everything up, but in this case, it was a good mess up. And Jason Stack, that's why they call him Shooter. He always takes the shot. You know what? That's actually it brings up a good point of why do you take on the name of the Shooter?
Okay. Also another good story. I didn't come up with it.
Oh, really?
I did not come up with it. Again, like I said, I wasn't till later in life that I figured out where that kind of moniker came from, you know? We're in the gym here. Again, me getting geared up, helping these guys train down here. And stylistically, I was changing up the way I did things. So Jason Static actually came up with the name. And the reason why he came up, he goes, because you have that style of that shoot style. Like, he'll go in and logically try to pick people apart instead of doing the more entertaining hokey bad guy stuff, you know? And I said, okay. I mean, I try to think of what we do logically, right? Why would I let go of a hold, you know? Like, why would I? Why would I let go of a hold to grab another hold unless I'm moving you in a direction to where I want you to go so I can grab something that I want, you know? I've never been a fan of guys, you know, locking up, switching into another hold, switching into another hold just to do something flashy to throw a guy off into the ropes so you can get hit with a shoulder tackle and hit the ground. Like, what are you doing? You had him here. Yeah. You had him here. You didn't have to let go and do something else. You did all that shit just for it to backfire, you know? Like, what are you doing? Hey, look, thumbs up. I didn't know I did that.
All right.
I guess my hand signals gave me a thumbs up. That was valid self-validation. But but basically, you know, that's kind of where the nickname came from. And I was like, yeah, sure. I'll go with it. He bestowed it on me, and I'm like, sure, let's run with it. I don't care. I was just going to go by Jerry Morgan, you know, and that's it. And then he came up with that moniker. We'd even run some drills where we would do our shoot wrestling, and it would be, you know, you got to get out. So a lot of the cardio drills we'd run would be, I'm going to hold you down and you got to get out of it. And then we'd swap and exchange and roll and all that kind of stuff. Submission style wrestling. So it's just kind of a name that they gave me and kind of stuck and been using it ever since.
So you've had a very successful career so far. As we saw on your intro card, you are the current and inaugural Ignite Pro Wrestling Outburst champion.
Yep.
Is that the is that the first time that you've been the first to hold a title?
I think so, yeah. I think so. I think that's the first one I've ever held that was me considered to be the first. So that's kind of cool. I like that. I hold that championship kind of up there on the list for me because of the company that it represents, right? The faith that those guys have put into me to do something with it. So I am very appreciative of it. And the guys I had to beat in order to obtain
yeah.
it.
Yeah. That was a one-night tournament.
Yeah. And to tell you that nobody expected me to win any of those matches is an understatement.
Yeah, we got our producers chiming in. To remember, if you're new to the podcast, make sure that you comment for a chance to be a part of our prize drawing. Ooh. Where Jerry Morgan will actually be playing a game a little bit later on for one of our lucky viewers.
Yeah.
And we got Dardar asking, hey, Jerry, would you want to fight someone in a 2-on-1 match?
Like me have another partner or me one against two?
I think she's referring to you against two people.
I've done that before.
Really?
I've done that before. Yeah. One of my, not good at all. I mean, it wasn't bad, but I mean, I lost, you know, it was in my part of my first run, wrestling. I was supposed to have a tag team partner in this match. I believe it was my second or third match at Broadway. I was wrestling the tag team champions over there. And my partner bailed, didn't make the show. So I wrestled Brandon Espinoza and Ace Hawkins in a handicap match for the tag championships. And I almost won. I almost got him. What stopped me from winning the championships was a chair shot to the face. I took a chair shot straight to the face.
Yeah, that's one of those things that'll stop anybody dead in their
yeah. I mean, technically I won the match, but, you know,
yeah.
Technically I won the match, but you can't win the titles by DQ, so.
Yeah. What do they call it? The champion's advantage?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the whole, like, left side of my face was numb. It was pretty gnarly.
We got Ariel saying that'll take the fight out of you.
Yeah, it will. Yeah. Yep, especially when you're unconscious. It's a good time.
Yeah. But yeah, back to you with the Outburst Championship. You know, that came down, if I remember correctly, that came down to a final with you and C.W. Graves.
Yeah. Talk about a spooky guy, you know? You know, I'm typically pretty solid when it comes to, you know, being intimidated or not, and I'm normally not. There's not a lot of guys out there that make me nervous or intimidate me in any way. But when you're standing across from a guy that's as tall as he is and as menacing as he looks and as mad as he was, for lack of a better term, you question, like, okay, if I can get in on this guy, I can take him down and I can work my craft. I can bring him into my game. I definitely don't want to be standing up with this guy at all because he's got that reach advantage. And he's crafty. He's freakishly strong too. Like, I know he's tall and thin, but he's strong too. Don't let it fool you. Like, he's yeah. there's some push behind that. So strategy-wise, I was just trying to get him down.
That big boot that he has.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've felt seen that almost take people's heads off.
Oh, yeah. I took it. Yep. That was me. And that's when I was starting to, you know, take out the limbs, and then I got brash and went and shot off the ropes, and I paid for that. I paid for that with a size, whatever shoe he's got.
And if I remember correctly, he was a little upset after that match.
Oh, not a little bit. That's an understatement.
Remember correctly, you got choke slammed.
Twice.
Yes, that's right. It was twice.
Twice. Yeah. Yeah. Twice.
And that was because the crowd demanded it, if I remember correctly.
Absolutely. Yep. I was unconscious for most of it, so I just remember the one for the most part. You've got really good pictures of it, though, so I got to.
Yeah.
I got to relive it. I got to relive it through photographs.
You know, there is one thing, you know, because you'd mentioned how Scott got in the way during your match with Logan at IWA, and that's how you won that match. And Scott, you know, I know I've told Scott this many a times, but Scott is constantly in my way. As a photographer, I think that Scott just kind of, he's constantly just kind of glancing over. He's like, all right, where's the camera guy? All right, I'm going to shuffle.
That's right.
You know, I have so many wonderful pictures of Scott's butt.
Maybe you should start a collage.
That's what I told him. I said, you know, well, I always look to see. I'm like, all right, well, where's Alex? I'm like, all right, he's standing right over there. Now let me go over to this direction where he's trying to get a good photo, and let me just get right in the way.
That's right.
or I mean, I have some really good pictures of Scott's shoes, too. Because somebody's going for a pen, Scott slides right in front, and I just get a good picture of the bottom of Scott's shoes.
Yeah.
And
you know, I have started taking to when I'm going through the photos after a show, and there's a photo that Scott just kind of blocked. I just kind of sit there and go, Scott's fault, delete.
Yep.
Start a Scott's fault collage and just drop them in here, like off the corner.
You know, that's a great idea.
Just have them.
Just a collage of the photos.
And they just run the whole show. Every picture of his shoe or his ass that you have, just.
Oh, that would be like a 3-hour episode.
I'm saying you could just keep it going for ever.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got Sid Holland in the chat saying that C.W. Graves is who ended his win streak.
Ooh, hey, yes. Speaking of streaks and stats, right? You know who hasn't lost to C.W.?
That's true.
I'm undefeated against CW. Outsmarted him though. I'm not gonna bullshit nobody or excuse me, BS nobody.
But
I warned you, it'll slip. I caught him. Used his own momentum, caught him in a pin.
Yep.
Outsmarted him. That was a guy you probably weren't gonna bully around too much, you know?
Which that's just strategy right there. And we got Nikki Monroe. We got Nikki Monroe, another member of PYT in the chat saying, when doesn't Scott get in the way?
Oh, PYT's a big fan of me. I mean, I'm their favorite referee. I know for a fact that I'm PYT's favorite referee.
That's what I hear.
We got Chris saying that Scott always has to be the center of attention.
It's about time that somebody finally realizes that. I mean, I didn't want to say it, you know, but
I thought we all knew that already. It was an unspoken thing.
Well, that's what I thought too, but apparently some people don't know that.
We got Jason Stack with something I wholeheartedly agree with, that refs are the bane of every photographer and videographer in existence.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly, you know,
that's true. Anytime someone's, you know, taking video, watch any local, indie show that's not a hard cam and they got it moving.
Yep.
Always referees are always.
We got Sid Holland saying that he beat CW once, to be fair. They're at 1-1.
Hey, you're 500, brother. That's Hall of Fame stats in baseball, dude.
And we got Benny McKee Cavini in the chat saying Jerry Morgan is the unbeatable shooter.
Okay. It's a little steep, but I'll take it. I'll take it.
I mean, I hate to say it, but but you have been defeated before.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In grand fashion, too, on top of that. Everyone's taking their licks in this game, man. No one comes out unscathed.
You know, that brings me to an interesting question. What is your most memorable loss?
My most memorable loss? Oof.
Yes.
Honestly, to kind of peel the curtain back a little bit, you know, I know this is more of a kayfabe kind of show, but honestly, for me, one of the main reasons why I got back into this is to help others. Because I kind of know, like, my shelf life in this business, you know? Again, the whole age thing and me not having as many years as a lot of guys do at my age and that kind of stuff. So I kind of know, like, there's a certain role I fill in a lot of places. And for me, it's the ability to give somebody a moment, you know? Give the people, not only the crowd, but the person I'm working with a moment. And for me, the one that comes to my mind recently is my match I had with Andrew Wilder over at MMWA just recently. This is only a couple months old. And it was our match where we were doing the Junior Heavyweight Championship, which was mine at the time, versus the Tony Costa Legacy, the Little Dynamite Championship, which he was holding at the time. And for years and years and years, they always had a no two belt rule. Like, they never had anybody that held two belts, you know, that way there was no BS in the locker room or no, you know, nepotism, anything like that. It was like, we're not going to make it about one person. We're going to make sure everybody's got their place. Right. And when they said that they were doing it championship versus championship, and I took it personal to make sure that we had a moment for Andrew. And for me, my most memorable loss to date would be that one, because the reaction that he got in comparison to the reaction that he was receiving coming to the ring, opposed to the reaction that he got after the three count, was all the validation I needed there, that I did my job. You know, I was able to give him something special. I was able to give the crowd something special. I was able to get the promoter something special. And I 1,000% did my job in that match. So I'm very proud of that one.
That was just a couple months ago at WrestleGross, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, that I will say that was an incredible match.
Yeah, I beat the crap out of that kid that night.
Yeah.
And he's kept coming. You know, I told him, I was like, I'm going to maul you. I'm going to mangle you. I'm going to throw you. Like, you're going to earn this. Win, lose, or draw, you're going to earn it, kid. So I told him.
And then we got Chris saying something that I want to hear the story on here, saying that he got his beard shaved not too long ago.
Oh, yeah.
Match.
Okay, yeah, I did. Now, it's back now. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's pretty glorious.
I trimmed it down
now
a couple times. Yeah, I'm fixing to knock it down again, but we got to wait till the playoffs are over, you know? Yeah. Can't shave your beard during playoff time. So it's got to stay until playoffs are over. So again, peeling the curtain back a little bit. So, me knowing kind of how things go over in MMWA, I again took it upon myself to try to give a moment, right? And to say I'd gotten cocky is kind of an understatement, but I was wrestling Andrew, or I had wrestled, I think I had wrestled Anthony Lopez or something, or I can't remember. I wrestled somebody. And then after the show, Andrew had a really long beard at the time, and I had a really long beard at the time. And one of us made a joke about a beard versus beard match. And I was like, whatever. And Tony, the promoter, really liked it, liked the idea. I didn't think anything of it. And I also was interviewing for another position at my job. So I had trimmed my beard the next day. So I had a really long beard and I trimmed it a little bit. And I get the card announcement in our messages, and it's Andrew Wilder versus Jerry Morgan, beard versus beard. And I'm thinking, oh no, I just trimmed my beard down for this job interview, you know? And so I reached out and I said, hey boss, this is what I did. I don't know if you want to still go with it. He's like, ah, we're still going to do it. I'm like, oh goodness. Okay. So I didn't touch it at all. So I let it grow as long as I could. And again, logically, I was thinking, well, I just wrestled Andrew like 2 months ago and I beat him. So, and I'm the junior heavyweight champion. And if it's a beard versus beard and that's all we're going for, the crowd's going to automatically assume I'm going to lose. But my beard's trimmed, so it's kind of silly. So why don't we make it a bigger – why don't we do something bigger, do something better? So I had the bright idea to challenge Andrew Wilder and Jonathan Zulu, his tag team partner, to a handicap match. I said, okay, if I win, not only do I shave Andrew's beard, but I'll shave Zulu's head. But if I lose, then they can shave the rest of my beard off and however they want. So it's kind of up the ante, you know, make it a little bit different. Well, Tony pulled a fast one on me, and he said that if you want a handicap match so bad, here's one for you. And not only did I have to wrestle Andrew and Zulu, but he also brought out Cardi Marty, Anthony Lopez, and Quest Parker. So it was a 5-on-1 handicap match. So to say that I went out in a blaze of glory, it would be accurate. I fought them off as long as I could. And I think I ate every single one of their finishes, and they proceeded to hold me and shave my beard off.
Now, did they shave all of it off, or did they just leave like patches, they, like spots? Well, or?
They shaved off a lot of the sides, right? And I was able to salvage enough to get like a nice little like goatee. Afterwards, I had to like shave all of this off. It was all gone. I just had like this goatee thing, and it was grotesque to say the least. I looked like I should have been on a list or something. But yeah, that was a memorable loss too, I should say. That was another memorable one too, because I've kind of to answer Dardar's question too. Yeah, would I ever wrestle somebody 2-on-1? Yeah, sure. I've wrestled 5-on-1, so
yeah,
why not? You know,
yeah, 5-on-1. 5-on-1. That's. And we got Jason. I refer to you wanting to give people moments that's what it's about.
Yep. So sorry to ruin everybody's Jerry Morgan sucks bad guy persona. I do like to get.
Got Dardar asking, hey, Jerry, who in PYT would you want to face?
All of them.
At the same time?
I'll do it. I ain't scared. I almost dropped an F-bomb. I ain't scared. honestly.
Go ahead, Jerry.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead. Okay. No, I was saying besides PYT. Now you're doing it on purpose. Okay. Okay. Besides PYT, is there anybody in NGW that you would like to step in the ring with?
There's nobody I wouldn't want to step in the ring with.
Well, I mean, is there somebody in particular that you would love to get in the ring with that you maybe have not gotten in the ring with that you'd love to work with?
Yes. Well, Sid's one of them. Sid Holland's one of them. So I'm excited for that. I'm looking forward to hopefully the card doesn't change and we get to do something. So, I would like to work with him because he seems to know what he's doing, and, he's dangerous, which is good. Which is always fun. He did break a little bit there, Dardar. You're right.
Yeah, we got Bayes, Brujo. Just Jerry versus Brujo.
But I mean, that you never know, that could work down the road. You never know. It'd be interesting. He plays a very so here's the thing with Brujo, right? Brujo, he's got a very menacing style, right? He's ominous, he takes his time.
You know, the first time that I ever saw him, he came to the ring with a snake.
Yeah, no, I don't want no part of that at all. If he comes down, there won't be a match, I'll tell you that.
You'll just hang count out, you just no pride.
I wouldn't even get in. You can't start the match if I ain't in there. Heck no, absolutely not. Yeah, we're not doing that. But if I were to wrestle someone like Brujo, I would have to be extremely smart about how I did it. I'd have to try to wear him out. I'd try to make him tired. Like, I'm not just going to stand there and try to lock up with a guy like that.
I'd say good luck on that front.
I know. That's a tough one just because of how ominous and resilient he is. I'd have to find a finger or something and try to rip it off. I don't know.
And then also, Brujo has the number games with, you know, Preacher, Lexi Green, and now the newest member of the Gospel of Damnation, Sid Manson. So that would be a factor in the match, too, with numbers game.
No disrespect, but Brujo would be the only one that would be able to at least give me a run for my money in that whole group. I ain't worried about a single one of the other ones. None of them.
Yeah, I think that you could stand a pretty good match for the Lightning Division Championship.
Oh yeah, I mean it wouldn't take me much, you know. Preacher, he's around. I mean, he might be my age, if not a little bit older, but he doesn't move as well as I do.
Now we got to be a little bit careful now going forward because, you know, he's kind of like Beetlejuice.
Oh, we don't want to say his name. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, three times.
What happens when we do?
It's not good.
Nah.
What does that mean?
So we just try to avoid saying it three times.
Oh, well, whatever. Scaredy cats. I'll do it later when you least expect it.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't spook me none. No, I'm not afraid of that. But back to the PYT question. I'm a huge, even though they did kind of beat me up a little bit last show, which it's fine. I've been on plenty of the other end. I get it. It's part of the business. But I'm a huge fan of Tobias. I'm a huge Tobias Storm advocate. I was talking to people about him today, actually.
Tobias is an amazing talent. I mean, he's a former Lightning Division champion. He was the 2024 NGW Men's Wrestler of the Year.
Yeah. I mean, it's mind-boggling that there's not a lot of places here. I know, like, the Show Me Wrestling or whatever.
Yeah, the Show Me State.
Show Me State Wrestling. Yeah, I know he's kind of a mainstay there and kind of one of their top guys there, but the fact that these other places don't have him top of the food chain is goofy to me. Like ball drop worthy almost. And I know I might ruffle some feathers and upset people or whatever, but that's kind of what I do. That's kind of my thing. I shoot you straight. No pun intended. You know, you can, you don't have to like it, but it's just my opinion. And that's what I feel the truth is. So if you don't like it, too bad.
Well, we got Nikki Morrow in the chat saying, sounds like we need a Tobias and Jerry match.
I'm game. I'm more than game for that one.
That would be wonderful.
That kid would give me a run for my money for sure. And I'm not even afraid to admit it. Like that'd be one that pushed me for sure.
But, you know, speaking of the unknown and the unexpected, you know, Jerry, on this show, we do like to play a game with our guests. Ooh. And we like to call that game. Shock therapy. Now, how this game works, Jerry, is we're going to ask you three questions. You get two out of the three questions correct, and you will win a prize, which is a signed show poster for one of our viewers. And when I say poster, I'm talking huge poster. If you've recently been at one of the new Genesis wrestling shows, you've seen these posters out by where you get your tickets to get in the building. They're huge. They're signed by everybody on the card. And tonight, Jerry, you will actually be playing for Krista Hansen.
Uh-oh. No pressure, right?
Yeah. Now, Jerry, we do have a theme to our games here, to where all the questions will follow a theme. And considering that you've taken on the moniker of the shooter, I figured what better to ask you about than other famous shooters in history?
I'm gonna bomb so bad. Here we go.
Well, you just have to get 2 out of 3 right.
All right.
All right. Are we ready?
Kristen better hope so.
All right. Here we go. What was Annie Oakley famously known for? A, splitting a playing card edge-on with a rifle from 30 paces. B, lassoing bullets out of midair with a jump rope. C, shooting spaghetti noodles into shape for Wild West Pasta Night. Or D, once winning a shootout against a tornado.
Since the theme is shooting, I'm going to go with C, hopefully. I don't know anything about...
You don't know anything about Annie Oakley?
Not at all.
Oh, all right. Is C your final answer?
Yep.
Oh.
All right. See, I should have thought of that one too. The playing cards. All right. All right. All right. I got to get the next two.
You got to get these next two right for Krista. All right. And your second question. What legendary Wild West figure was known for his speed and accuracy with the revolver, earning the nickname Prince of Pistolers? I'm sorry. A, ooh, the Phantom of the Saloon. B, Wild Bill Hickok. C, Sheriff Shooty McShotface. Or D, Deputy Yeehaw Lightning Hands.
Why do I feel like C and D are a trick? Let me think about this one, because I know Wild Bill Hickok. Okay. I know of him, especially Wild West stuff.
You never heard of Yeehaw Lightning Hands? I've heard a lot about him.
I'm going, because I've heard of Wild Bill Hickok, I didn't know that. I'm going B. Heck with it.
You're going B? Wild Bill Hickok was the Prince of Pistolers?
I guess so.
Ed, you are correct.
Yep. I was just because the last two weren't very good, and I've never heard of the Phantom Saloon ever. So,
yeah, neither have I. Although, I mean, Sheriff Shooty McShotface kind of.
I mean, that's not a bad name.
No.
That's not a bad name.
And I'm pretty sure Deputy Yeehaw Lightning Hands is Scott's alter ego.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. Yeehaw Lightning Hands. That's what I'm gonna start calling myself.
There's your new shirt.
Yeehaw exactly. Lightning Hands when you're making only when out. You're
only when you're counting against PYT's Lightning Hands.
Exactly. That's according to them. I fast count, so you know, according to them.
Yeah. All right, Jerry, you have one correct and one incorrect answer. This is for all the potatoes. Are you ready?
Sure. Let's do it.
All right. What incredible feat did exhibition shooter Tom Knapp perform? A, balanced 6 rifles on his head and whistled Yankee Doodle. B, used ricochet shots to win a game of pool from across the street. C, once convinced a bear to surrender just by loading his gun. Or D, shoot 10 clay targets in the air with a shotgun before the first one hit the ground.
Let's go D.
Let's go D. Shoot 10 clay targets in the air with a shotgun before the first hit the ground. And you're right. Which that actually is a very incredible feat. I don't know if you've ever been skeet shooting.
I have not, but I've been around it. And I'm baffled by people who can do that. Now, I can rifle shoot very well. I can rifle shoot very well. I can pistol shoot very well. Or handgun shoot very well. Yeah, shooting clay is hard.
Yeah. But congratulations, Jerry. You have won that sign poster for Krista.
Is it thumbs up again? See?
I'm sure she's very happy.
Yay!
See, we got Benny saying that is an incredibly impressive achievement. We got Krista clapping for you. Woo, she knew you could do it.
Not going to lie, I was really, really nervous about that. I was like, oh no.
Well, she had faith in you.
Oh, that was one of us anyway.
But Jerry, I want to say thank you again for joining us here tonight. It's been an absolute pleasure. Outside of NGW IWA, where else can fans catch you in action at?
A little bit everywhere. Mostly MMWA, which is the second Saturday of every month. And then starting in 2026, they'll be doing two shows a month. But for now, it's just the second Saturday of the month is at MMWA. I'm there every second Saturday. I'm at Ignite Pro Wrestling every first Saturday of the month, or whenever they normally run first Saturday. I am doing a pop shot for Pro Wrestling Epic down in Bon Terre on May 17th. That'll be the third time I've worked for them. And I think that's it for now. I don't know of anything else. Apparently, possibly, I'll be doing more NGW shows. So we'll see. Yeah, about...
we definitely look forward to seeing you in action there.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. And, you know, I think our next one's IWA. June. An IWA production. Yes, sir. Yep. Yep. I mean, I keep winning, so it's like, at some point, they got to give me a championship match, right? You know? You would think?
Yeah. Hey, yeah, man, maybe you can go up against the sound guy.
No kidding, you know? I mean, now here's one more thing. He's been
on quite the winning streak lately.
Yeah, he's been on a roll, but guess what? He hasn't fared well against me.
Yeah. And will you be at Ignite this weekend?
I will. I'll be defending my Outburst Championship this weekend. Yes, I will.
Against the Private Eye. Who are you defending that against?
The Private Eye.
The Private Eye.
Yeah. He's coming up from wherever he's coming from. Apparently, he's been scouting me for a while, and I hate to break it to him, but I don't really hide much. So I'm pretty straightforward with my style and my technique and my process as far as wrestling goes. So hopefully he's a better wrestler than a Private Eye. So there's that. But yeah, so I'm hoping here in the near future I get my championship opportunities that I rightfully deserve. I'm gunning for Sound Guy for sure. I've already ragdolled everybody in that division so far. I've ran one of them off. Okay. Lightning division, heavyweight. You deserve
a title shot at this point.
Well, I mean, I don't see why not. I mean, like I said, I've been in IWA production since April. Was it May or April? No, April.
May 2024.
Was it May? Either way, it don't matter. We'll say May. We'll aim low. Doesn't matter. So since May of 24, and I have yet to be pinned or submitted in that place, and I had zero title opportunities.
Wow.
What are we doing? You know? And then if NGW and IWAP are like sister companies, kind of, sort of, right?
They well, it go sounds buddy, like buddy. You might have your chance to capture the Wrestling for a Cure Championship.
And you know what's crazy is it was Sid Holland that gave me a championship opportunity.
Yeah.
Not NGW. Not IWA Productions. What's going on there? Do they not like me or something? Did I rub them the wrong way? What do you guys know? Inside Scoop, head official. Scott, what do you hear?
I don't know what's going on. I mean,
give me the dirt.
I don't know the management side. I just, you know, refereed the matches. So we'll have to look into that one.
I'll grab a finger, Scott. I swear.
Scott's sitting outside like he don't have the inside scoop on everything.
Nope. He's on the outside looking at me. It's all right. But no, yeah, I'm kind of everywhere. Hopefully they keep having me back. I'm definitely looking forward to anything they throw at me, whether it's Sid Holland, whether it's Preacher, whether it's the Gospel of Damnation, whether it's PYT.
We are always
Say his name three times.
You said his name three times, and that's what happens.
Yeah, good. Because the thing is, like, there's, I mean, even if you look at, like, the heavyweight division right now, you know, in both of these companies, you've got, you know, obviously Playboy has been at the helm for, he's always been in the mix for the last couple of years. I feel like he's been in that title picture for the last few years. Ricky Cruz, another one, same thing in the title picture for the last couple of years. If you look over at Chris Cade, who's holding both titles for a while, right? Now he's back. So you have a lot of the same guys that are up there. And I think with some of the people that we've got, given the right opportunities, we can break through into that picture as well. You know, there's plenty of guys on this roster that can definitely elevate up to that level. So I wouldn't be afraid of taking on PYT if I had to try to get my hands on that NGW championship or IWA Productions championship. You know, me fighting more than one person at one time is nothing new to me.
Yeah, like I said, you took off 5-on-1 earlier.
5-on-1, 2-on-1, I don't care. I tell you what, they're not, given the right circumstance, they won't ever want to do it again. I might lose, but I'm going to take a couple of them with me, you know?
Yeah. Got Nicky Monroe. Well, when you're the best like Playboy, you're always at the top.
Hey, you got to hand it to the guy. You know, he does outsmart people, you know?
Yeah, he told everybody he wasn't even going to be there last month.
It's a great move. I'm not even mad about it. I think it was a great move. Smart. I probably would have done the same thing or something similar. You know, that's what a lot of people have, too much pride in this business. You know, they want to go out on their shield. You know, you got to be smart. And like I said, me trying to fight 5 or 6 guys at one time is not smart. What I'm saying, I would do it strategically, of course.
Yeah.
You know, by the time they all got out there, there wouldn't be 6. You know what I mean? A couple might fall off. So a couple may not make the show.
Make them get locked in the back room or something.
That's right. Might hire a couple enforcers to help me out or something. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, when it comes to these places, the door is open for me. I'm always open for whatever. I'm always looking for a fight. I'm always looking for an opportunity to prove myself, why I'm put in these positions. After being gone for so long, I kind of came out of nowhere. Which is also pretty cool at the same time, you know, with me having such a long hiatus to come back better than what I was and just kind of be plucked out of nowhere and kind of be on everybody's radar now. So it's nice. It's rewarding. It feels good.
Well, I want to say thank you again for being on tonight, and we'll see you this weekend, and we will see you next month on the 21st in NGW for Melee and Muscuda 3.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. This was fun.
Yep. Thank you. Have a good night, sir. Well, that was a fun one, Scott.
Oh, yeah. You know, he was. I know, he is. I mean, he was the guest that a lot of people have been asking about him, bringing him on, and we finally got him on and, you know, get to pull back the curtain a little bit and get to know Jerry Morgan a little bit different than what we see him. So, you know, I'm excited to see what he can do at NGW.
You know, and here at the end, we've got Dardar just absolutely ripping on you, asking, camera guy, no one wants to see Scott. Can I take over his spot on the next podcast? Better than you, Scott, and you know it.
Oh, man. Oh. You know, we did have a PYT episode, and it didn't go very well, so I don't think that'll work with Dardar.
I think it went pretty well.
Yeah, for you, it did.
But, I mean, come on, Scott, look at this. Here's the starter of hashtag Scott's Fault with the sign. It's always Scott's Fault. Scott County, exactly. 1-2 Squirrel.
I mean, I've got a lot of fans at NGW that just love the way I count. You know, it's just, you know, just the way it goes.
Got Jason Stagg saying, Jerry is an asshole, but he's my guy. Oh, but I want to thank everybody for coming and joining us here tonight. And, you know, I really want everybody to mark their calendars for January or for June, because we're going to be having Melee in Muskuta 3, Saturday, June 21st, Loose Civic Center in Muskuta, Illinois. And the only match that we have officially announced so far will be Tobias Storm and Playboy Double H taking on Chris Cade and Ricky Cruz. And we found out about this match last week live on the show.
And we found out that this match was announced because Phoenix said she wanted to protect the NGW Heavyweight Championship. Because on July 12th, Playboy Double H is defending that NGW Heavyweight Championship at Wrestling for a Cure against Chris Cade.
Yeah, and you know, when that was said, Playboy got a little upset because, you know, he thought that implied that NGW management didn't think he would be able to successfully defend the title, but I don't speak for NGW management. Scott doesn't speak for NGW management. I mean, we're just the conveyors of what's coming our way.
Exactly. I mean, they're the ones who make the decisions. You know, we just have to go with whatever they decide.
But yeah, and like I said, I want to thank everybody for joining us here tonight. Make sure you mark your calendars again for Saturday, June 21st. Tickets should be going up for sale soon. And I also want to go ahead and thank our sponsors, Nick's Home Decor, Bi-State Termite and Pest Control, Needful Things Boutique in Muskuta, Illinois, Laser Monkey Engraving, and the Ringside Buffet in Mount Vernon. Scott, did you have anything else you wanted to cover before we take off for the week?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. Well, we will see everybody next week on, next week, Thursday, 7 p.m. like usual. Make sure you give us a nice little top rope elbow drop on that like button, and we'll see you next week. We'll be right back.